Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Happy nearly weekend, everybody. Oh, my name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson.
Hello, Marcus.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you three with me and the listeners, ultimately.
It's a pleasure for you to have us three with you.
Correct.
I like to think we're all in a forest together.
A Nottingham forest.
Us and the listeners. Mm. No, just a forest.
All right. Sherwood Forest.
No, yes. Just stay that's fine. That's fine.
Is it, the forest from the Cure song, A Forest?
Maybe, I don't know.
Is it, is it the Black Forest area in Germany where England stayed in Baden-Baden? During was it World Cup 2006?
It was,
I think it was Baden-Baden. I believe that's in the Black Forest region of Germany.
Is it the Black Forest, the place of the Black Forest where they have the gatto?
Yes, it's that bit. Mm.
Don't look at me like I'm talking nonsense.
You've gone too far.
You've gone too far.
I haven't. I've not gone far enough. All right.
Leave gatto out of it.
Is that too fancy dessert, or should I talk about yogurts?
It's 270s.
Okay. All right, then. Let's preview some... Actually, should we talk about Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid?
If you want.
Let's start with that. That is crazy.
Big news today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That is the breaking news.
Not allowed.
Yeah, they've got a transfer ban for the next two transfer windows. They can still sign people in this January transfer window,
which
they'll definitely be doing now.
To wrestle this back to the Premier League, the team most happy about this is presumably Spurs.
Yes.
They're delighted. Everyone else is like, oh, well, you know, fair enough. Real Madrid obviously gutted. Spurs are like, this is brilliant.
Well, one good thing is that the tedious Gareth Bale or Cristiano Ronaldo to anywhere stories are going to go, because there's no way they're going to let those players go when they can't sign anyone. And it does have a big effect on the window, because so often what Real Madrid do kicks everything else into gear because they have so much money sloshing around. And so it's going to be slightly different, which would be nice.
What we should say is that it is actually a registration ban.
They're so bad at admin. Yeah, the Dennis Cheryshev thing.
But do you know what a registration ban is?
What's the difference?
You can still sign players.
You just can't play them.
A bit like what happened with Barcelona with Vidal and Turan.
Yeah.
So, they can say to Paul Pogba, hey, do you want to come and play for us in 2017?
Yeah. We'll pay you to go on holiday.
But also as well, you know they're going to appeal it.
Yeah.
And so actually it's subject to appeal. So if they appeal it, it could get put back. And if it was put back to not the summer transfer window, the next January transfer window and then the summer after, you'd guaranteed they would be going after the likes of Pogba and Eden Hazard.
But is there anyone there to hear an appeal at FIFA? I mean, who's hearing the appeal?
Well, this is what I mean. You can easily get it under the radar.
Well, get your own house in order first, FIFA. Yeah. I'm going to say. I mean, but you do sort of think that if Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid get these bans and they remain in place, I mean, that's going to be bad for the league enough.
Bloody good for Barcelona.
It's going to be great for Barcelona, but pretty much nobody else in that league. So you sort of do think that the league itself would probably be keener on them keeping the status quo rather than losing it.
But this is coming from FIFA, the top dogs.
Top dogs.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, it's still Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid. It's not like they have bad squads, even if they don't add to them.
Mayhem in Madrid.
Yeah,
that's like Man United and Man City.
Anti-Madrid bias.
At least the Real Madrid fans will be unhappy with someone else outside of the club.
Better news for Real Madrid, though, is that they're making a signing of sorts. Zinedine Zidane. Have you heard who he's trying to get into his backroom staff?
His son?
Roberto Carlos.
Lovely.
Ooh. Isn't that nice?
Getting the band back together.
Damn right, Jim. He should get them all back. He should get Guti.
And
Figo.
That deaf boxer that stalked Guti for a bit. That was weird, wasn't it?
He probably wouldn't be welcome.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's really odd. A deaf boxer was stalking Guti. I think he used to work as like muscle for him. And then they had some sort of falling out and he kept following him around. That's the story.
You wouldn't
very
want a
weird.
Deaf boxer following you. No. Well, deaf or otherwise, just a boxer following
very
you.
Very much that was Guti's opinion as well.
I don't want this.
Imagine being a young player, though. Zidane there. Roberto Carlos there.
Guti.
Others. Carlos's thighs going, well, mine are never going to be that big.
That's true.
There's no place for Roberto Carlos's thighs in the modern game.
He should get Beckham in there. I know Beckham's doing his own stuff, but come on.
Yeah, he's busy.
Get him on Skype.
Good times at Real Madrid, I think, yeah. So there we are. But, so it's maybe bad news for the amount of clubs that we'll be trying to sign Antoine Griezmann as well.
Yes.
Who almost definitely was a target of Chelsea's. So there we are. But talking of Chelsea, they're playing Everton. At home on the weekend. Chelsea, you thought they were going to turn a corner. They were excellent away to Palace, although Palace have been pretty poor, actually. I don't think they've scored in four. But Chelsea then draw 2-2 at home to West Brom.
Unbeaten. They're unbeaten.
That's what Heading said, didn't yeah. he? Even he did sort of say, well, we're unbeaten, but yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it was a strange one. And Diego Costa, again, he's been playing better since Mourinho's gone, but he is a big baby, isn't he? He's still getting wound up by stuff. Apparently punched a hole in the wall after the game is the rumour coming out after that.
I can totally imagine him doing that. 100% he would do that.
If the walls could talk.
He tries to wind up a player. The player responds by trying to wind him up back, and he lets them wind him up.
It's like he doesn't understand the rules to his own game.
Yeah.
That he invented. But to be fair to Chelsea, I mean, of course, that is a disappointing result, and I concede that. But they have sort of turned something of a corner. I mean, they've not lost a game on the hitting, I don't think, in
the
league.
They're playing a lot better as well.
They are playing, but they look at it. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the problem is this season's essentially a write-off for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So their last five games, they've drawn 3 and 1-2. If they've won all three of those, they'd still not be anywhere near where they need to be. They'd still be 5-6 points off the top four. So, I mean, season-wise, it's really going to be difficult for them to do anything at all anyway.
What about Everton, though? You see, again, they had a good performance against Manchester City, obviously beat them in the Cup. They a clean sheet. See, they've played Manchester City twice and only conceded one goal.
That's big for them because that was their problem. Yeah. It was their problem. But is that Martinez's problem in total, I think.
But has Martinez put all his thoughts into the defence and now he's like, oh, the goals have dried up.
Yeah, it's like he can't do both at the same time. It's like he's the ultimate, like, he can't multitask anything. Yeah.
It's a sliding sort of... Yeah, I mean, if they have the players to make that defence very good. And that's what Everton fans must be quite frustrated at because, you know, we've said this before on the show and the league table says it every day. They are 11th, only on 28 points, one above Southampton who have been quite poor and one below Watford. So the great football that they are playing, and they have been playing, they've been one of the most entertaining sides of the season.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of neutrals would think, tighten that defence up.
They're an odd tight team because I don't know if it would be surprising to you guys, but it's very surprising to me to read that Everton have won one of their last 8 Premier League games.
Yeah, it's astounding.
1 in 8.
Because the thing
and
is...
And they seem to be playing a lot better than
because
that.
They go down in a blaze of glory. So you think that they're actually in quite good form when actually they're losing. It's a very weird thing.
And the two they've won in the last 10, one was that last minute Tom Cleverley one against Newcastle. Pete, get involved.
Yeah.
And the other one was against Aston Villa, and that's a gimme, or it was till Palace turned up.
But indeed.
So they're not actually doing very well with Everton. No,
it's weird. It'd be interesting to see Lukaku at Stamford Bridge because surely he must have something to prove to them. He always speaks very warmly of Chelsea. It doesn't seem like he sort of
Do you
resents...
not find that personally very endearing in him? is that a trait you like to see him stamp out?
Absolutely.
Speaking endearingly about Chelsea.
Yeah. They cast you aside, pal.
There's no room in this game to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Sink to their level if you can.
Lower.
Yeah, if anything, Chelsea, come on.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a challenge.
Yeah, it is. Sure is.
That's
Show
a
that you're a world-class git.
But I think the reason
That's Chelsea's motto, actually.
What, being a world...
Show you're a world-class git.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm just kidding,
Chelsea. Proud of our history.
Yeah. Don't be nasty to Chelsea.
No, I'm only joking, Chelsea fans. It's a bit of fun.
But I think with Everton, you say that how come they've only just won the one game? It's because they score a lot of goals. So you're used to seeing them celebrating.
Yeah. You're not invested in the goals.
No.
So you forget to look at the score. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I'm saying.
Speaking of the old Chelsea fan thing, I met a Chelsea fan, ramble this on the train home the other day, and he was talking about Chelsea, and I said to him, oh, what do you think about us like getting on the back of Chelsea sometimes? He was like, well, not much I can do about it, really, is there? I thought that was a very nice resigned air of what I'd like to come to expect in our listeners.
That's
just what you get with a ramble, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think it's because it's such a ridiculous season they're having. You know, everybody got on the back of Manchester United when Moyes took over. It's the champions of England being so poor the next season.
6 points off relegation.
Nobody could have predicted that. Mm. Nobody could have. Not even you, Pete Donaldson.
I would have had a go.
Would you say? I'd say Chelsea Everton's a chin stroker.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to get into this again. I mean, I think we bled it dry fairly consistently over the past few weeks.
So
I'm just saying, let's find some new memes, guys.
Let's see another one of your ones you bring into the table then. You must have loads lined up after that comment.
Is it an aeroplane or a car?
I think Chelsea Everton is a car, I think.
It's a car.
Yeah,
okay,
I'd say it's a car. Right.
What about Villa Leicester?
Let's go plane, train, or automobile.
That is a flaming jalopy.
It is. it's a Midlands derby. Villa are off the back of one win. That is enormous.
I'm going to call it a platform.
Yes.
It's like you're saying one win, and you have to qualify it by saying for how long. But you're just sort of going, in recent memory.
Yeah.
One win in recent memory.
My problem with Leicester is I still can't get used to finding them in the Premier League table. it's too high. It feels unnatural.
Is it going up, 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 up? Oh, yeah. Hello.
I know. It's incredible, isn't it? I
mean, well, level on points at the top, but with Arsenal.
They are. Yeah.
One great thing about Leicester is we were talking about how we worried that the goals would dry up when they finally lost the game, and that did happen for a bit. But they've responded to that by just getting a lot better at the back. They've kept three consecutive clean sheets in the Premier League. They've never managed four before. So they're adapting. They're still up there. They're level
on
points.
That's very clever, because if Mahrez and Vardy haven't scored for by their own standards this season a little while, so Ranieri's thought, right, we need to make sure that we're not so gung ho then, perhaps.
It's like Martinez, do it at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was obviously the game plan at home to Manchester City over the Christmas period. Then they had a disappointing game or two later against Bournemouth at home, where they should have won that, and they know that, but those games can happen. But what a great win it was away to Spurs, and there they are, they're still joint top with Arsenal, and we've got to mention that Robert Huth header.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Alan Shearer. Imperious. Have you ever seen Alan Shearer more happier in all his life, including his playing career?
It was a terrible marking. Who was like?
No, it wasn't marking. There was
nobody near him.
It was fictional marking.
Fictional marking. Yeah. Nah. Bearing in mind, it was a really late header. It was a really important point. Really important 3 points, rather, to keep them at the top of the table. And the Leicester player, the radio thread to the Leicester FC website.
Yeah.
Was doing the commentary, and they played back. They said, "Oh, have a listen to what went on when the goal went in," and it was the most underwhelming. Oh, and Robert Huth scored. I was like, "You do know what, mate?"
That was because he absolutely lost himself when the goal went in, and probably was effing and blinding. Yeah. And then they just had to record one quickly after, and he's gone. Well, that was really good, wasn't it?
What a good goal. Robert Huth actually said on social media, "I'll never as having a really flat, square head coming more in handy."
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, just to wrestle it back to the game itself, because Aston Villa will be. I think pleased, obviously, they beat Crystal Palace and got that sort of monkey off their back, or Remy Gard got that monkey off his back. And let's not forget, they're not welcoming the Leicester of sort of 2 or 3 months ago into Villa Park. Leicester have clearly, as you've already touched on, Marcus, their goals have dried up a little bit, and they've looked to sort of shore it up at the back. But I mean, Leicester to win this game at Villa is 11-10, so £10 on that gets you £21 back, including your stake with Bet365. I wonder whether it's as cut and dried as that. I wonder whether Aston Villa might show something in this game.
How about that, eh? We're going to talk more about the Premier League, of course, and Leicester's fellow league leaders after this.
He's a proper ratty bastard.
Making all the mistakes, getting one of them.
Pop on our bricks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the preview show, the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Jim, Arsenal are away to Stoke. They lead the league.
Yes, we do.
This strange position for you to be in,
yeah,
Arsenal.
Yeah, no, not at this point. Not at this point at all. This is entirely normal.
In the second half of the season?
I'm sensing a tingling in my nose. There might be a nosebleed coming, but it's not quite there yet.
Right.
This traditionally has been a very happy ground for Arsenal, hasn't it? The Britannia. Only won there once in the Premier League.
Oh, so. Do you like Stoke at 3-1? I like him at 3-1.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is always a tough fixture for Arsenal. And Mark Hughes actually has a very good record against Arsene Wenger at home as well. I think he's unbeaten at home in 7, which is across 7 different clubs. Not 7 different clubs, 4 different clubs. But the combination of that and Arsenal's form at the Britannia does suggest this is going to be very, very difficult. And Elneny might be coming in to make his debut, which, I mean, that is a baptism of fire, isn't it? Mm. That is one of Arsenal's toughest away trips ever. Stoke don't play in the way they have before, but they'll still be so fired up for this game,
sure,
because it's become this weird sort of grudge match.
The type of player he's a very athletic player, very box-to-boxy.
Can I just say, with Stoke, people talk about Stoke being this whole, you know, like passing the ball, got a good attacking players team. On paper, they are still a team who don't score that many and don't concede that many. Yeah, that's still the fact.
They still mix it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. They're still got Charlie Adam in there. Yeah,
they're not soft.
Well, just because they don't concede many and don't score many doesn't mean to say that their style hasn't changed. I mean, Spain in the 2010 World Cup, Luke, didn't concede many, didn't score many, but you certainly wouldn't say they were bruising.
I'm not
beasts.
Talking about style. I'm talking about whether there's anything to be scared of or not, because ultimately the style lends itself to whether they score goals or not. And if they don't, I mean, what difference does it make?
True.
But Arsenal could go toe to toe with any football playing team in England. And the Stoke are a football playing team, but fine. They don't score. They just don't score enough goals. So I don't know if Arsenal. I'm just coming off the back of what Jim was saying about Arsenal being a bit of a baptism of fire for them going to Stoke. I don't know if it is this season. Oh, of course.
For Elneny,
it's all in their head, though, isn't it?
You want a home fixture against Sunderland for Elneny to come in. Isn't
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is a great opportunity for Arsenal actually to stamp their title credentials all over the Premier League, isn't it? Because this is traditionally one of those matches where you would look at them and the accusations of Arsenal being a bit soft and bottling it at times would come to the fore. And so it is going to be a tough game. I hope that it is sort of toe-to-toe attacking, and that we see the Stoke we've seen in some of their better performances, because if it is, it will just be simply a very, very good game of football.
It's a huge match, this, and it's often, as I'm sure everyone is aware, dubbed the Jermaine Pennant Derby.
Yeah,
yeah. Being a former player. Talking of him, now that you've mentioned him and you've strong-armed me into this, he's recently had a successful trial at Tampines, one of the two, Rovers in Singapore. So that's where he's playing.
How old is he now, Jermaine?
32.
Oh, dear.
It's quite funny, actually. His wife, who's very active on social media and likes to show off most of her body on there, she does. She does. I'm not saying that's good or bad.
I'm just saying that how many pictures you saw on that Instagram profile.
Well, it was in the article that was highlighting.
Was there a link to it? Did you accidentally scroll 7 weeks down and then click like on
the
pictures?
I'm very thorough with my research.
It brings a whole new meaning to the word show prep. Just did some show prep.
Yeah.
And she did show a lot of prep.
Marcus does not work in an office.
I do, actually. Mm. She tweeted something about, does anybody have any insight on how to get cars from one country to another shipping?
Oh, humble brag.
Yeah. Well, actually, it backfired.
All right. Because the car?
No. Well, it reminded everybody of a story when Jermaine Pennant was playing out in Spain. And he parked his Porsche somewhere and forgot. People reckon he forgot because it was just racking up loads of fines because it was there for ages, and he was over €400 or something. He owed it's,
good Lord.
For those who listen to the show who are too young to really remember Jermaine Pennant back when he first started.
Played in a Champions League final with Liverpool.
Yeah, this sentence about his early years is nice from his Wikipedia page. Jermaine Pennant was signed at the age of 15 by Arsenal from Notts County for £2 million at 15, a record fee for a trainee at the time, but failed to fulfil his promise amidst a string of disciplinary problems.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
On his debut as well.
Was it really?
A real mixed bag.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I believe it
was against Southampton. It was a season, I think Arsenal had already won the league. Mm. And I think Robert Pirès might have also got a hat trick on the same day. But it started really brightly for him, and it looked like he was really going to kick on.
Well, David Bentley.
Yeah.
Because he scored this debut, did he not?
He scored a lovely goal
very early on.
Oh,
for
possibly in the League Cup.
Okay, yes. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy with Pennant because he did play in a Champions League final not that long ago.
I could see.
Still only 32. But the thing was, he had a trial. It's not like they went, oh, yeah, we'll get him. I'll have a trial.
But it's not in vogue.
Singapore!
It's not in vogue to start strongly anymore. It's to finish. It's like Vardy. You've got to finish strongly. You've got to finish your career quite strongly.
Which is.
So it's all about the upward
trajectory. It's all about the upward trajectory. Yeah.
It used to be all about the downward ones.
Don't peak on your debut.
No. Silly. Foolish.
Very true, very true. Right, enough nostalgia. Let's go to the two best teams in England, Liverpool and Manchester United. they are playing at Anfield. It is one of the biggest games of the calendar, of course. Van Gaal's cracking up.
I don't know if he is, though. Doesn't he always operate at this level of just, you know, basically mental?
Didn't he call a journalist a fat man?
Yeah, he's done weirder things than that.
Could we get confirmation whether the journalist was fat or not?
I don't know.
If he was, then, I mean, is that bad?
The only evidence we have is from Van Gaal.
It's glandular.
I've got glandular bones.
It's a fancy dress outfit. Yeah, Liverpool, Manchester United, it's a big one. It's always a big one. It doesn't matter where they are in the table. Eh? It is.
It will forever be a big game, though.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's sixth versus ninth. It's still a big one.
But Liverpool have been, as I said on the previous show, Liverpool have been involved in some humdingers recently, and I can't see this not continuing with this one, to be quite right.
Well, with both off the back of 3-3 draws, and so Liverpool have not got many defenders on hand. Rooney suddenly found his feet again, or some would suggest.
Big Stephen Cole was here to save the day, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so weird that Liverpool have got one scout. He lives in Southampton, and he won't travel.
No, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. That's what they are.
I'm tempted to say it's a lovely part of the world, but that would be nonsense.
The man from Portsmouth.
Literally only down the course.
But the thing is, with Corker, he's on loan from QPR to Southampton.
Yeah.
So he's been sort of called back and then shipped on again.
With to play up front for Liverpool, which he did the other night.
You know, sometimes you get like great individual battles in games. And speaking of this fixture, Torres and Vidic was always a nice one.
Rooney and Corker this year.
Is there anything more boring than that? Yeah. Rooney versus Corker.
Come on, Rooney played well against Newcastle.
I'm watching something else.
All right. He did play well. They need to have Lingard running at that back line, the Liverpool back line, because that could cause them problems.
Speaking of what Pete was saying about it being a bit of a humdinger, over 2.5 goals, 6-5 on Bet365. So £10 on that gets you £22 back. I can't see there not being goals in that game. At the risk of making myself look an idiot again, as I have done all season, because this is the hardest Premier League season to predict ever, I think there'll be goals in this game.
There has to be goals in this game, because that Liverpool...
Nailed on.
Yeah.
I'm saying this and I'm betting on 0-0.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Talk it up. Insider trading. Lovely.
Insider trading. Got to be goals. Manchester City, they're at home to Crystal Palace. Surely that's a home win written all over that, because Crystal Palace are not scoring goals and they lost to Aston Villa, Pete. You're enjoying this because Pardew's still in charge.
Well, I'm hoping that they're going to get to the bottom half of the table. Did I say bottom half? I think I said bottom half at the start of the season.
Are they going
to
get there? I think they can achieve it.
I think they might finish weekly.
So to be fair to Pete, they're only 3 points off bottom half now.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible shout. It's halfway
there. They were flying high the first few weeks of the season, and everyone was like, meow, 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 don't it always seem to go well? We'll see, won't we, against Manchester City the weekend?
What's your point? They're probably going to get beat by Man City, aren't they? So what's your point?
It's just an easy on goal.
I'm just trying to think if you could think of a worse week to say that. I don't think you could.
By the way, don't it always seem to go 13 points above Newcastle?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
They're 3 points off the bottom half.
We've got Newcastle John Joe
Shelby. And you've got Steve McLaren. And Steve McLaren. And Paul Dummett. And Cheick Tiote.
Not for long.
That's the worst thing.
I'm with you with John. I think McLaren's still an all right manager. Yeah, John Joe Shelby.
Funny though, isn't he? He is funny though, isn't he?
I just like how Steve McLaren suddenly went, can I do a signing? And they went, yeah, all right then. We'll bring in John Joe Shelby. He's gone, we've been after him for ages. How come you got him in?
Can I do a sign? I love the idea of Steve McLaren going into like Mike Ashley's office, knocking on the door. Yeah, put your umbrella down there, Steve. Yeah, dry yourself off. What's up?
It's not been raining as well.
I can have signings.
Let me do a signing.
All right, but I'll leave you do it your Dutch accent.
Yeah. That's the only way you can get Ashley to respond in like a really laddie sing-song way. Yeah. Let me do a signing. I have a big mug?
And his name is actually Mike Astley, but Steve McLaren just called him Mike Ashley.
Hey. Liking it.
Put me out.
But our bet of the week is from that game, Manchester City versus Crystal Palace.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, the betting side of this isn't going that well.
No.
I think
we started with a win, didn't we?
We did.
We've done a Jermaine Pennant.
We picked our debut. But one thing I should make clear for all the listeners is that everyone should take responsibility for that. You know, it's not just me. Yeah. It might be me delivering it. Yeah. And if you want to shoot the messenger, that's up to you.
Yep.
I think that's weak to do that.
Shoot the messenger, though.
I think blame everyone for this.
The messenger is the biggest target.
That is unequivocally true.
And the most convenient one.
Oh, but when Louis Van Gaal was a journalist, the fat man is out of order. Changed your tune in like 5 minutes.
I literally didn't say that.
Yeah, he didn't. In fact, what? I think you'll find Jim said, give him big applause.
Yeah, I think it was me saying it, wasn't it? That's embarrassing. Oh, well.
We're just like the Borg nowadays, aren't we?
Was he saying it to Andy Cole, was he?
So we decided to go for Sergio Aguero to score at any time at 4-5 on Bet365 against Crystal Palace. Then we found out he's never scored against Crystal Palace before.
But that's it, though.
We're sticking with it.
He's due, surely.
Yeah. He's the hook.
We are sticking with it. So £50 on Sergio Aguero to score at 4-5 against Crystal Palace returns £90. It's a £40 profit. And all profits do indeed go to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Yeah,
it's a site.
I love that.
Lots of fun.
Do you want some emails?
I'd love one.
Emails?
We've got some lovely emails.
We've got time for one.
I've never heard of an email
before.
We've
got time for all of them, so shut your mouth. Yeah. Hello to Paul Brady in W12. I don't know why he gives us W12, but...
Is that Shepherd's Bush? Ealing.
It's in West London.
Might be.
Don't be too niche.
Hounslow?
Don't care.
If you like.
Come on.
It's in West London.
On the subject of best animals...
It is Shepherd's Bush!
Yes, very good. On the subject of best animals on the pitch, I have to give a shout-out to the plucky squirrel who stopped play for an inordinate amount of time at Loftus Road during QPR versus Leicester.
Nugent chased him off.
In the 13th to 14th season, yeah. Leicester were about to take a corner at the school end when the referee insisted on halting the game until the squirrel was removed from the pitch. After many minutes of watching various efforts to corner the fluffy rodent, including David Nugent's brave attempt to make a difference, the wags at the loft end struck up various chants, including Suarez, give us a win.
did the squirrel nearly score and then Nugent nicked it off him?
Yeah, definitely.
Afterwards, Nugent went down the park and nicked all his nuts.
I was about to say that. You thought he was chasing it off the pitch, but he actually was sticking a nut.
Yeah.
Can I just say, what's the name of the emailer?
Paul Brady.
He says that Nugent tried to make a difference. David Nugent did actually chase the squirrel off the pitch. I remember he did succeed.
We've got eyes on the ground.
He might be a championship level striker, but he's a Premier League level squirrel
grabber. Anthony Gridley. There's quite a few emails from Australia this week. Anthony Gridley says, hey guys, I saw Heskey in a greengrocer's after he moved to the Newcastle Jets. He bought 30 plus bananas in one go and saw me laughing at him. The greengrocer's has now been known as Heskey's ever since.
Nice.
Keep up the good work, guys. I have noticed that you swear a lot less these days. Anthony Gridley there. What a... All right, lads. Matt Mulrooney.
Definitely an Australian.
Matt Mulrooney.
Oh, you're not swearing enough, mate.
Matt Mulrooney says, my highlight of the week relates to the pitch invader at the Eastleigh Bolton FA Cup match. In Sydney, there is a charity AFL match, the Reckland Community Group, played between a team of musicians and a team of radio station employees and journalists. One year, in typical Australian style, a spectator decided to get his kit off and streak the game. Despite this being a fairly well-attended fixture, it's very much a social game and such, so there's no ground attendance or police. As a result, our hero spent about a minute running around the ground in the nude before realising that A, nobody was going to chase him, and B, he didn't have an exit strategy. So somewhat sheepishly, he jogged back over to the fence, hopped off the ground, put his clothes back on, and enjoyed the rest of the match. Thank you, Matt Mulrooney.
That is great, because I never thought about that before. When it comes to streaking, you automatically assume, whether you're an onlooker or the streaker himself, I would imagine, you're going to end up wrestled to the floor.
You're going to end up with a policeman's hat over your testicles.
That is a strategy that should be employed by all football clubs immediately. Let them go with it.
They did try that, though, and the streakers were just loving it, and the fans were loving it, and they thought, oh, we're going to have to go back to the old ways.
That is a shame.
Take his kneecap off. Sniper.
Marvellous. Donald Trump.
Don't let streakers enter football grounds.
Very right-wing views from a man from the northeast.
Excellent stuff. Right, if you
shut
want to
the
get
pits.
That is all we've got time for on the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, everyone.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.